really cool.
Yeah, you know, this is one of these bonuses that we gave to everybody, that the first 50 people that signed up, because you acted quickly. You recognized that there was this imbalance that was showing up in your body, and you just acted on that. And so this is one of the little bonuses you get. There's three of them. We've had one already. There's this one, and there's one in July. And it's a chance for you to, first of all, see other people that are in the program. We might hear them when we come to the calls, the sweet spot calls. You may be chatting with them on the call. You may be chatting with them on Facebook. But there's kind of a closeness that happens when we get to see each other's faces and while we hear their voices.
Yes.
So that was one of the reasons we offered this. Plus, it gives you a chance to ask questions that you might not have a chance to ask elsewhere, about what you're doing and what's going on. We're kind of towards the end for many people of the metabolic reset. It's not like you had to do it through the month of June, but I know many people are. So welcome. So who here is doing the metabolic reset?
Denise.
I am.
Yes?
Dawn. Yes.
Oh. Great. Excellent. All right. And how is it going? Here. Let's see. You want me to unmute you, Petra?
Sorry, yeah. Okay. Sorry for eating, but I just got home, so
okay. No.
I'm eating too.
Don't apologize for eating.
Oh, I got mine right here.
But, I'm just following the messages that Rich Marie is sending us. So for me, that's all about the metabolic reset. I'm also in sweet spot, but I have no time to do everything, but as all the others, I think. So listening to the messages she's sending me every, I think, daily. Yeah,
the daily emails. Yep, the daily emails that have some further guidance. There's an audio message there that keeps encouraging you.
Simple messages, but they're good enough. Some days some are longer, some are shorter, but the same message: fall the horse, get back on it, don't stress out, and do it with it, whatever you can. That really encourages me, because sometimes you're too tired, or you have a birthday party or whatever socializing thing, and then it's hard to stick to your intermittent fasting or your two meals a day, or
exactly. Well, so I'll just speak a little bit here. What I encourage people to do, because we've created a commitment at the beginning.
Yeah.
And bless you, Kimberly. And so we have a vision of how we think that should look. But what I encourage people to do is to embrace how that feels. So if you have a goal to maybe lose some weight, how are you going to feel when that happens? And that will carry you through more than the number on the scale, or and even the numbers on the meter.
That's true. I read last week or something, don't overestimate what you can do one day, but never underestimate what you can do one year.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Don't step by step. So that's about it.
And if you're looking at finishing up the reset, then the main thing is that you have 3 weeks of staying under 110 with your blood sugar. There are some other things to consider, such as your sleep, if you're on the supplements, that type of thing. But that's the main goal.
To stay 3 weeks under 110, whatever moment in day, or whatever, before or after meals, or
exact, all of it needs to be under 110. And so some people, and you, if when you're on Facebook, you'll see this. Some people went further than the 30 days with the reset. They did it for 3 months. It's whatever your body needs to get yourself there before you move, before you do the transition phase. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to two of our sweet spot coaches. We have Lisa Falaudi and Kimberly Ward. And they have both been with Dr. Rita Marie for several years and are NEPT students. And
what students?
NEPT, Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training.
Okay.
Included in that is the Insulin Resistance Practitioner Training. And they both have practices in their own right. So I'm going to stop there and let them each introduce themselves. So, Lisa, would you go first, please?
Sure. So, as Lynn said, I'm Lisa. I'm based in Switzerland, but I help people worldwide. And I like to think of myself as a health detective, and in the sense that I help people who have mysterious symptoms regain their zest for life and feel amazing every day. And my focus is to use real food, nutrition, and functional lab testing to get people back to the activities that make them feel alive. And I love this program, the Sweet Spot, because balanced blood sugar is really one of the foundations for optimal health. And we can't really deal with other things until we have balanced our blood sugar.
Yeah. Thank you. Kimberly.
Hi, I am also a functional nutrition coach, and my specialty is working with people that have symptoms rooted in stress and trauma. So I'm a certified trauma therapist as well as a functional nutrition coach, and I do a lot of work with people that already are eating really, really well and have generally healthy lifestyles and have explored lots of different dietary protocols and been to lots of different practitioners and haven't been able to solve their health concerns with either traditional or even alternative practitioners. And so working with them to sort of relieve old patterns of stress and trauma that might still be in the system that's blocking their healing and their wellness. And so like Lisa said, I do love this program for very similar reasons, is that it's so foundational, and the stress is a direct correlation with blood sugar and insulin levels. So working with people that have unresolved stress and trauma, one of the first things that I do with them is look at blood sugar levels. And often it's not diet that's causing a problem with their blood sugar levels. Often it's the unresolved stress and trauma and not sleeping well and not exercising appropriately and being overwhelmed in their nervous system. So I'm so happy to support people with this foundational stuff, whether it is more dietary related, teaching people how to work with food, and people that are already eating well, what are the other components that are so important, that are found in this program, right? All of the foundations in this program, it's not just food. So I'm so proud to be part of it.
Yeah. Thank you. So, you've heard a little bit about them, and now you have a chance to ask questions about what's going on, how you're doing, and moving some next steps. So, who would like to go first?
Sometimes, Kim, you're right, because I can do whatever I like, but when I'm stressed about anything at all, my blood sugar goes under 10, maybe 115. For me, that's already high, because I always stay like 97.
Okay.
So when I've been busy before eating or after eating, just doing my, not to worry about anything, then it stays under 100. But whenever there is something, I don't know, coming up, and it raises like, yeah, not sky high, but really like in 115, 117. So for me, yeah, it doesn't matter what I eat. It's all about relaxation. That's what I discovered. Yeah, and that's what I can relate to very much.
Good. Do you have some tools? What are the tools you use if you notice that you're stressed or your blood sugar is high because of stress?
For me, the easiest is just the heart math.
Mm, heart math, yeah. Great.
Yeah, or just go start walking. Start moving. Oh, the house and garden, never. Yeah, just get up. Yeah.
Great.
But, part of this program will hopefully teach you skills to reprogram that. Is that right, Kimberly? So that that gives you some internal resilience so that your blood sugar won't react so acutely when you're in the presence of stress. So we can't change, oftentimes we can't change the stress that's outside of us, but what we can do is work on reprogramming our response to it. It doesn't happen overnight, so that's why this program is the length that it is, and it may take even longer than this program. It's something you have to continually work on, but the whole goal is to create more resiliency so that you, as Kimberly was saying, our patterns, how we react, we can reprogram ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And how do I do that? With my breathing, with the breath?
Or? Yeah, that's one of the ways for sure. I love what Lisa said, because and with this program, checking your blood sugars is really, really important, because often we're so conditioned to be stressed that we don't even recognize how stressed we are, right? So checking our blood sugar is one way to know what our body is doing subconsciously below the surface. So the first step is awareness, and testing regularly will help you go, oh, it's not what I ate. It must be what I'm thinking, or it must be this stress pattern that
so many times I don't want to test because I know it's too high. So you just
right. Just well, so that awareness, right, is the first piece. And then when you can start to recognize the symptoms of stress, which many of us are so used to being stressed, we don't recognize that we are stressed. So once you start to recognize those symptoms, then you can start to de-link. The symptoms, the sensations in the body are very correlated with our thoughts, right? And those two are, when they're very correlated, it feels big. It feels real. It feels like a bigger deal than it really is, because our nervous system feels stressed. And so it's going to work to get your attention to be defensive, to protect yourself. And often it's not real in the present moment. In the past, we had a situation that was stressful. And so we learned how to manage it and be defensive. And now in the present moment, it's not necessarily true that we need to be defensive, that we need to be overwhelmed or stressed. But it's habit. We get in the habit of reacting defensively. And so when our nervous system senses a possible threat, we have a sensation in our body, a literal sensation. We have a blood sugar reaction and other hormonal reactions. And our thoughts or our stories start to kick in, subconscious usually. And we start to react defensively when maybe we don't need to anymore, right? Maybe that was a past situation that was truly dangerous or upsetting. But now in the present moment, it's just, we call it procedural memory. It's just a habit that we get into because we've done it so much in the past. And so like Lisa was saying, building resiliency means that we can disconnect the body senses, the possible threat, and the story we tell ourselves was, oh, this is bad or scary or overwhelming, not true anymore. So we disconnect. We have, okay, my body is sensing stress, but in the present moment, everything is fine. And the more we can separate the sensation and the story, more we separate those, the more we can be in charge of our reaction. And then we can calm down. So Petra, one of your questions was breath. Yes, breath is one of the best ways to do that. When you catch yourself in that overwhelm or the high blood sugar or the panicky sensation, or even some people check out totally, right? We know about fight or flight, which is anxious, but then there's also freeze, where we're just disconnected and we can't function. When we catch ourselves in those defensive patterns, then we can cognitively use our conscious awareness and change our body so we can shift with breathing. Breathing is one of the best ways. So if you're anxious, exhale longer, because the exhale, longer exhales help to kick in the parasympathetic. If you're frozen and you need to take action, but you're exhausted or overwhelmed, then you want to have more emphasis on your inhale. The inhale stimulates your sympathetic nervous system, which gives you energy to fight or take action. And the exhale stimulates parasympathetic, which is rest and digest and calm down. So breath is one of the number one things that you can use consciously to separate that sensation from the story of stress.
So we're really programmed, this fight or flight or stress response is a really, it's part of what kept us humans around this many millennia.
Yeah.
And it's part of our, what they call lizard brains or amygdala. And it's really, it's part of us, part of our programming, but we have to reach it like Kimberly said, through really being conscious, through breathing, to really disconnecting it, because it's really, we're so hardwired for this kind of reaction.
Yeah.
So the awareness is a really, really, really big step. And to find out how you respond to certain situations, you know, is it emotional stress? Is it work stress? Psychological? You know, there are all kinds of different stressors. And it's food, of course, is a stressor as well. Just identifying it. And then breathing is fantastic because through breathing, we can alkalize our bodies and get us into the present time. And it's just one of the simple things that we forget to do. A lot of us don't exhale. We take really
short. Inhale, of course you inhale, but the exhaling is another thing. Of course you inhale because you need to, but yeah.
And the people take very shallow breaths, you know, shallow, quick breaths. So it's slowing all of that down. And it's just, the heart math is great, but it takes a while to retrain yourself. But it's possible.
Yeah. Okay. There's hope.
Yeah, there is.
I'll just add a little bit in there to what you both are saying. We're talking about retraining our brain, basically, and sometimes that begins with just making a decision. And the decision can be about anything. It could be about how you choose to wake up in the morning, how you choose to respond to something, and you just keep repeating it to yourself. I have signs up around me with my new empowering beliefs, and so my eyes are always seeing that. I actually recorded myself saying it on my phone, and I listened to that, and because this repetition will just keep that pathway in my brain will start to believe that. The more you hear that, the more you repeat it, the more that becomes your belief. And the other one lets go. It actually becomes then uncomfortable to try to remember that old belief, because you just continually, and it starts with a decision. You make that decision. And then you just keep reinforcing it. So I just wanted to add that in to back up everything that Kimberly and Lisa were saying. And
but it's amazing, isn't it, that non-food triggers of blood sugar are possible to reprogram, but that there are non-food triggers of blood sugar, which is,
yeah.
This program is somewhat unique because it looks at more than, as Kimberly said in the beginning, more than just diet. Diet is, of course,
yeah,
foundational and cornerstone, but there are other things.
Yeah. It's one of those things we can so easily do. So that's, I think, one of the reasons that we gravitate towards food. We all need to eat. And so this is just one step towards empowering yourself with those beliefs. In the program, we also have, you know, the fitness, the bursts and everything, the timing of your foods, your sleep. So anyway.
And they all work together. So if you improve your diet, your stress will get better. If you improve your sleep, your diet will get better. It's easier to make better choices. And they're all very interconnected. I like working from action. Yourself when you work every aspect of the program, not just the diet, not just the fitness, not just the stress, not just the sleep, but all of those components together, working with the mind and the body together.
My sleep could get better because I always waking up after 5 hours, sometimes 4.5. I used to get a lot of sleep, and now, yeah, after 5 hours, it's done. It's neato.
Do you have difficulties falling asleep, or you just wake up?
After I wake up for my first, and then go to the bathroom for 5 hours, and I can't get into sleep again. Yeah, can't fall asleep again. So, and it's not enough 5 hours.
No, it's pretty short night. So, what do you think you can do to extend it? Can you go to bed a little earlier, or is it what time do you go to bed?
Yeah, maybe too late, and maybe screening, shut down the screening, at least 2 hours. Yeah, that adds. Yeah, I know. So easy, no? Yeah.
Well, recuperation, rest and recuperation is an integral part of this. So, as active as we want to be, the other side of the coin is rest and recuperation. So, and our body regenerates when we sleep. So it's just important to not, we used to think we were heroes for just working around the clock and not resting. And you pay the bill for that at some point, maybe it doesn't happen if you're doing all these all-nighters in your, let's say 20s, maybe in your 20s, you'll be able to cope with it. But starting in the late 30s and 40s, it'll start to show. So getting around 7 to 8 hours of sleep is probably optimal for most people.
For me, it depends because I'm also a gardener. So I do a lot of physical work. Mm-hmm. But when I have a quiet day, then 5 hours is enough. But really, when I'm busy, 5 hours not enough, traveling a lot.
It was interesting. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. This is what I do 5 months. I watch these little clips on my phone, and one of them was, I think it was Ellen DeGeneres with Tom Hanks, and she asked him this question: what do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night? And he said, wait. So in other words, he waits until he goes back to sleep.
Yeah.
And then to kind of go back to what you were saying, keep track of when you go to bed and when you wake up, because there may be a pattern between when you're waking up. And so that's something else to consider is, are you always waking up like at 3 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, at 4 o'clock? Because there's also the Chinese clock of your body. Yeah.
3 o'clock is ready to live, or no?
Actually between 11 and 1 and 1 to 3 is liver and gallbladder time. 3 to 5 is long.
Huh. I'm 3. Oh.
3.
So, yeah. And the other thing, too, in Chinese medicine, the lungs are paired with the colon. So,
with the colon?
The lungs are paired with the colon.
Okay.
So, just something more to consider.
So, Denise, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning as well?
It's like, it's clockwork for me. 3 o'clock, right on the money. It's not every night, but it's been for the past 3 or 4 nights, but I had like wild dreams last night that I had to call my daughter up and ask her if we had a conversation. She said, absolutely not. We didn't have this conversation. And it was so lifelike that I didn't know if I had it or not. But it took me a while to get back to sleep that time. But normally I can kind of get up, go to the bathroom, and then within the half hour, go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. but it was so, the conversation or the dream that I had about this conversation was so real. I woke up, my number was like 103, you know, which is like, I couldn't understand why it was that high. And I figured it had to be the stress of that talk that I had with my daughter.
Wow. Your brain doesn't understand the difference between a reality and a dream. Do you journal your dream?
I'm sorry?
Do you journal your dreams?
I don't, you know, I get up really early to go for work. I kind of, this one I'll really remember because it was this conversation about an old boyfriend and a new boyfriend and how the similarities for her are so, you know, connected that I wanted her to see this. And I don't think I'm going to forget this dream, this, you know, but I don't journal. I don't journal at all. I should, but I don't. Yeah, it's crazy. That was some crazy dream, though.
What about you, Dawn? Oh, sorry, Lynn. What about you, Dawn? How was your sleep?
My sleep has been awesome during this metabolic reset. I've only had one night where I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep. And I am getting pretty much 7.5-8 hours. If I wake up, I have been trying to stay in bed for the 8 hours. But yeah, it's been really good. In fact, I'm still getting up and having to go to the bathroom twice, but I go right back to sleep. So I'm not sure. I've been following mostly her menus, pretty much. Yeah, sleep has been great. I have no complaints on that one.
When is your last meal?
I'm usually done by 6:30 or 7, between there. And I go to bed by 10 every night. And then I've been waking up like at 6, you know, so it's been really good. I've never had this good of sleep. I mean, you know, so I think a lot of it has been the diet. I am not diabetic and I'm not hypoglycemic or anything like that, but obviously insulin sensitive at, you know, some point. And I knew it because, you know, I feel like my brain has gotten a little bit clearer, which has been nice, but I'm still having issues with some of my blood sugars going up. Like, I do really good when I have a protein powder mixed with the green powder. And that I drink that with my chia pudding and I do really good with that. And I'm not getting hungry anymore. I was getting hungry like within 4.5 hours, like when I'm starting to prep my next meal and I just drink water. And so I've been getting the water in pretty good. I'm doing the mini vacations once in a while. I forget them before the meal. But I found if I do my blood test, my blood sugars before I eat and try to just do my mini vacation there, because if I go to the table, it doesn't always work. Just because, you know, if my mom comes up or my husband's sitting there. So I'm still trying to figure out those things. I did get a late start in this, but I still jumped into the metabolic reset. And I've been building up my leg from the surgery and getting my 4 bursts in a day now. I haven't built up to 2 minutes yet. And I went out for a bike ride this morning and I've been walking. So little by little, I'm getting that. But I do have questions. Our fasting glucose is when we get up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then the baseline, because like just, I'll just give you an example. One day I woke up, it was 79. And then, I think there was about, I'm not getting to my breakfast. I did ask Dr. Rita Marie about, I'm trying to get up, test my blood glucose, do my 30-second burst, drinking my gut rejuvenator, and then I'm going in and having a little bit of a devotional time and doing my yoga, you know, 15, 20 minutes yoga. So breakfast is about 1.5 hours from the time I get up. It's easy if I have stuff prepared, obviously, but when I do the smoothies, and it appears that the smoothies, even with the greens and the blueberries, raise my blood sugar, you know, because that's what I had this morning. And it was at, I woke up, it was at 79, and then before breakfast, which would have been 1.5 hours, 95, which is about 16 points up, and maybe that's okay. So I'm trying to understand. It's always like that, right? I mean, I get up and it's low, pretty good. It's in the 79 or 80s. And within 1 hour, 1.5 hours, I'm just curious why it goes up that much. Is it because we're moving around or trying to get breakfast on right away or what? Or does that matter?
Yeah, I mean, Kimberly, you can answer. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's actually our cortisol. And, and when we start to move around, we're producing cortisol, which we should in the mornings and should be lower at night. And cortisol triggers the release of glucose. And so that's what actually gets us out of bed in the morning is this cortisol release. It's sort of cortisol, maybe a little bit of adrenaline. And that's what's sending the blood sugar up, which is why we want to control the stress response throughout the day, because it's cortisol and adrenaline that are the stress hormones that are triggering the release of sugar into our bloodstream. But it's normal in the morning, so you will see a 10 to 15 point rise when we're talking milligram per deciliter, which is American units. Do you have something to add, Kimberly?
No, that's exactly right. It is exactly. It's cortisol, and it's a good thing. So yeah. When we talk about cortisol, most people think of it as a bad thing, and it's not. We want it in the right amounts. All hormones, not good or bad, but there's a very short, small window of optimal where we want to be. And insulin and cortisol are very, very tied together, and we want cortisol to come up in the morning. So that's a very healthy response. It's not too high, but that's what should be happening. We want that cortisol to come up to give us energy to get our day going.
Okay. Well, thank you. Cause there's so much material to this whole program, and I can't, you know, I am moving through the modules. Like I say, I got started late, misunderstanding about something, but anyways, so, but then I wanted to ask you right after the meal, it went up to 100. So it went from 95 to 100. Is the spike from the time before the meal? Or right after we eat, if it spikes. Yeah. You know what I'm asking? In other words, okay, so before breakfast, it was 95. Right after the meal, which was like a half hour later, it was 100. And then 30 minutes after the meal, it went up to 116. And that's why, I had arugula and spinach and blueberries and that in the smoothie. And I did put some protein in there.
So the spike is after you eat, right? I mean, what you noticed in the morning before you ate, but you're moving around and then you had the 15 point rise. So that's not a food related thing. That's a cortisol related moving around. But the spike is measured after your meal.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know. Okay. Then I feel a little bit better about that. Because then 45 minutes in, it was 105, and then it went at an hour 115. So that went up. Well, that would have been 15 points, and it's above 110. So I don't know, but then it came then an hour at 2 hours. It was weird. I took it at, it was 117, but then I took it again in 2 minutes and it was 106. So I'm like, okay, what was the deal? Was it this meter? You know, I've had a few of those things that seem kind of fluky, but I don't know, not a lot, you know? So, and then it was back down to 90 after 3 hours. So is that all okay? I mean, is that?
Yeah, I mean, Kimberly, would you like to?
Yeah, I think it sounds fine. It is, you're going to have some fluky numbers here and there. If mine's real weird, I'll take it on the other hand because I poke my fingers. So I'll do it. If it feels really off, I'll take the other hand just to see. But I like to look at my averages over a couple days, or even over the week, just to see kind of what's the average number. But yeah, it sounds like you're doing exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's those patterns. And also, I think Annette is here. She said she was just calling in. I want to make sure this is her. Is this you, Annette?
Yes, Lynn, it is. Thank
you. Okay. You're welcome.
I didn't want to butt in.
So if you, Annette is one of our coaches as well. And so do you have anything you'd like to share about this or anything else you've heard?
Well, and sometimes the meters are just wrong. I don't usually switch hands. I'll do the same finger all over again. I've even done the same blood draw, and I'll get a different number. My child's a type 1, so we're pretty loose on testing, because we know no meter is accurate all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Kimberly said, you want to really be watching for the patterns and not getting on the numbers, or you'll go crazy. Trust me, it'll drive you insane. Yeah. So I definitely agree with Kimberly on that one.
That's good to know. Okay.
But going back to the pattern, if you start to see, though, the same pattern happening, so you may want to think about taking blueberries out or increasing the protein or adding some fat in. Mm-hmm. So then you can start playing around with the macronutrient mix, so the playing around with the amount of, let's say in this case, blueberry, either reducing the amount or taking it out completely, maybe adding in some healthy fat, some MCT oil or RMCT oil powder, or nut butter, or whatever kind of fat that you decide, and then the protein. And usually that should help reduce the, you're not having a huge spike, but you're having an increase. And
so the spike is as long as it doesn't go over 25
from
points,
base,
right?
Yeah, from baseline.
Yeah. What I'm finding works best for me is just, I'm just having the probably 18 to 20 milligrams, I think, of the protein powder with my, you know, green powder, which is the vitamineral green. And then I just sit down and drink that with my chia pudding. And I'm putting, you know, the coconut and not as many blueberries as this, you know, the smoothies. But and nuts and that, and it seems to do really good. It stays under 110. So the breakfast things, you know, I'd like to juice, but I don't want to spend the time juicing, you know, because then it puts it.
Well, and juicing can also raise your blood sugar. Because there's none of that fiber, unless you do like Dr. Ray says, put the juice in some chia gel or something. The other thing I have found to be helpful is adding in lemon juice. Lemon juice seems to help bring the sugar numbers down. So like in your smoothie, add some lemon juice.
I did put 2 tablespoons in because I went by her recipe and I did put the 2 tablespoons in, but yeah. So, and to be honest, I tested meals during May around meals, but not a lot of separate foods. And I know Dr. Rita Maria said sometimes the greens can raise her blood sugar. So I don't know. Anyways. Okay. Well, that is very helpful. So we still have to check, like if by 3 hours my blood sugar has stayed below 110 the whole time, do we, you know, can we be done?
So when you find that you have 2 weeks of under 110, you've got that great, awesome sleep, you're maintaining the supplements, you will see on the Sleep Spot page where it talks about transition. So go to the transition page, and there's a document there. And it goes through each of the steps.
And I'm sorry, what was that last sentence?
It goes through each of the steps.
Okay.
But that 3 weeks under 110 is the key part.
Okay. All righty. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question? I'm just curious how the allergens affect blood sugar. I don't know if I've come across that yet. And I've done good. I have stayed off of everything, but I did have to go out for 3 meals, Father's Day, you know, whatever. Had a little bit of tofu, not a lot. I don't think it really affected it. And some of the oil, which we try not to have our oil heated, but those were just a few different times, and I think it was fine. But I haven't eaten. I've pretty well stuck to the whole thing.
In terms of allergens, let's just talk about wheat. So wheat, we know is digested. That's a piece of bread. Digested quickly, and that can raise the blood sugar. But you don't know if your blood sugar is going up in relation to how fast it's broken down into your bloodstream or released into the bloodstream, the glucose, the carbohydrate. or if your body is having a sensitivity reaction to it. So when your body has a food sensitivity or intolerance, it will also elicit the same blood sugar response. So it's hard to, and so it's just easier to cut out the allergens, to rule out the effect of a food allergen on your, I mean, we have to say the difference between an allergen, allergic response, and an intolerance. So an allergic response is this IgE, that's the kind that, you know, people have a peanut allergy, and if they eat a bit of peanut, they have go into anaphylactic shock if they don't get it dealt with right away. So that's the allergy. But when we have a food intolerance, it often can destabilize our blood sugar as well, because our body's reacting to it. It's probably triggering the stress response. Same thing.
Okay, thank you. I've done pretty good. I've stayed away from a lot of stuff. I really enjoyed a lot of her recipes, actually. I would say the first 2 weeks, I kind of felt a little sicky. I'm sure I was detoxing, you know, but they're quick, they're simple, and my husband's enjoying a lot of them too. So I don't know if I have anything else. I have simple questions, but I don't want to take away time from other people. Why not chocolate but carob? It's okay. You can move on. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no. And I'm sure we'll come back to that. I noticed Holly was on, and I just wanted to open your mic, Holly, and make sure you didn't have any questions. Holly, I opened your microphone. Okay. I don't hear anything from her, so I'll just leave your microphone open, Holly, if you want to say anything. And it may be that you're just done listening because you're at work. But do you want to address the chocolate and carob issue?
Yeah, I'm just curious why so much is carob, you know, and I can't find the raw carob in the store, so I'd have to order it online, but I do have, you know, raw cacao or whatever.
Well, some people's triggers are chocolate, so I don't know why she, you know, I mean, maybe carob will have a less of a reaction on the blood sugar, but if you have 100% cacao or dark chocolate or raw chocolate, it should also be okay. But some people's triggers are actually chocolate and even dark chocolate, and I've known people who cannot, including myself, cannot stop eating, you know, even raw chocolate or, very dark, more than 70% or 80% dark chocolate. So,
and I don't think there's any caffeine in carob. I know chocolate does have, cacao does have caffeine, and I believe that carob is caffeine free. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I mean, if the issue was.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
theobromine.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and just like coffee, you want to be careful where you source it from. I actually will do a half and half mixture because the dark chocolate can be a good source of magnesium, where the carob is a good source of calcium. So it's a nice mixture to have.
But because I think, I don't read the difference in your body to when it is, when you have an intolerance or when you have an allergic or something. I don't know what the symptoms are in your body or.
There's a big difference between an allergy and an intolerance. So an allergy is something immediate. An intolerance can manifest itself, hours to days later, and it can have a typical or classic allergy would be like, let's say if a bee stings you and you're allergic to bee stings, or let's say a peanut allergy. So those are sort of the famous ones.
Okay.
But an intolerance can have diverse kinds of symptoms that could be they're delayed reactions to begin with. So hours to days later, that could be headache. It's very diverse. It could be headaches, it could be bloating, it could be many things, you know, skin reactions that you wouldn't necessarily linked to the food. That's why you've got to really journal it. And if you're having a reaction 3 days later, maybe you're not connecting it to a food that you ate 3 days before. So that's why we eliminate the sort of most common culprits, the food allergens, in order to eliminate all of that and then putting them back in to see how our bodies react to them. And then you're more clued in when you've added a food in. You know, if you're having, let's say, bloating is a symptom that would happen fairly close to eating the food, but it can also be delayed. But skin rashes or headaches or brain fog or all these kinds of different symptoms are not necessarily linked to food. Migraines, for example.
if you have itchy cheek, I think it's a chocolate related, okay. Because I don't eat any chocolate anymore. I used to eat really dark chocolate, but even that chocolate without any sugar, without the coconut, the blossom sugar, how do you call it? Well, without any sugar, also the good sugar. But now I'm went off to the carob, and the carob, I don't have difficulty with it. What do I want to say?
So I'm trying to clarify what your question is there. So with the dark chocolate, you know, some people actually find it helps with their blood sugar and their health because, you know, just that dark cacao, there's antioxidants and all that other stuff. But somebody else may have a different reaction. It's also what else is in there. You know, if there is the type of sweeteners that they might use, you know, that's something else you want to take into consideration. As far as coconut, I know I don't do, I get cold coconut, which makes sense because it's a tropical fruit. It's meant to cool people down. I mean, I'm sitting here with a blanket because it's just not warm enough. So I'm not going to be eating coconut. So everybody, but, you know, and the coconut meat might work better for somebody than the coconut water. The coconut water may raise their blood sugar. So that's why we have all these tracking sheets. You need to find out what's going to work best for you. Annette, do you have anything you want to offer?
I came in, my call got dropped, so I just came in on the end of it. I know when we eat chocolate, we go for as much cacao as possible, and we can tolerate it. But you really do need to find out. Like I heard blueberries mentioned before. Blueberries, as much as I love them, spike me. But it was through doing this with Dr. Rita Marie that I learned how bad they spike me. So it's about moderation too. Maybe a little less chocolate is fine, but that bigger piece is too much. So it's all about finding that balance.
And that's a really great point because we have a tendency to be all or nothing. And maybe it's just the one bite. But if you find it's like, I can't just do one bite, are you crazy? And just don't do it.
Find a substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe if you can't eat it now, after working the program and getting the reset, maybe then you can have it. You know, I know there's a woman that's gone through Sweet Spot for a couple of years now, and she's very excited because she's gotten some berries back in her diet. They no longer spike her.
Good. Good to know. I have definitely missed the fruits.
And it's the where is your commitment? You know, what is it, your goal? What is it you're trying to achieve? And know that this may not be a long-term thing, but this is what's best for you.
Yeah, I just was hardly having any of the desserts or anything. I finally made her truffles last night. And I think I'm fine with them, but I did use the cacao, raw cacao, and they're a little too rich with that coconut in there, but a little bite, like you say. And I think when I've gotten so much sugar out of my body these last few weeks, I'm not craving. And I'm sure the chromium's help with that. And so I've just been, you know, spacing my meals good. I've just been eating lots of vegetables and nuts and avocados, and it's been fine. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to put a plug in here for tongue scraping as well, because the tongue scraping will take some of that off. So you're not always continually tasting it.
Okay.
I have a question about the magnesium in the chocolate, because there isn't any in the carob, right? No. Sometimes I'm really dizzy, so I thought maybe the Dutch test would tell me more about my levels of, you know. I don't want to take any supplements. Well, I try to avoid them because I want to get all my stuff from the real food. But if I would order a Dutch test, is it easy to read the outcome or to integrate it in my daily life? It's really difficult.
The Dutch test is not going to tell you about your magnesium levels.
Okay.
So the Dutch test is a hormone test, and it tells you about the steroid hormones. So it gives you your cortisol levels. There are four readings. It gives you DHEA levels, and then it looks at estrogen, progesterone, and estrogen metabolites.
Okay.
And so it's not a test for magnesium. So what I would do if you want to test your magnesium status is to get your red blood cell magnesium tested, and you can also do serum magnesium. I mean, okay, the body regulates magnesium very closely, like calcium. So the serum level is not going to give you an idea of your body's functional magnesium status. So if you do red blood cell magnesium, and it has to be red blood cell, it gives you a truer picture of your magnesium status in your body.
Okay, but because I'm Dutch, I go a little bit fast. So you talk about red cell magnesium.
It's called red blood cell magnesium because they measure the amount of magnesium in the red blood cell. So it's a different it's a different biomarker than serum magnesium. It's called red blood cell magnesium.
Okay, and how can you order them where can I order that?
You have to have a blood test done, and wherever you take the blood test, you can order that. So, like, if you go to your doctor's office, or which country do you live in?
Netherlands.
Okay, so in Netherlands, you'd probably have to go to your doctor, and then you would have to ask them for magnesium in erythrocytes. It's called erythrocyte would be the same in Dutch as well.
Can you type it in the chat?
Yeah, in German, do you speak German?
Not that much as English, but I can read it.
It's erythrocytin. So I'll write it down into the chat.
The other thing I wanted to bring up in your materials, it's in the nutrition module in the deep dive. There's a magnesium loading exercise where you're taking your magnesium until you get those loose stools to find out what your body needs. So that might be another thing to consider.
She doesn't want to take supplements.
I try to avoid it, but at the end, if it doesn't add to my health, then I will. But of course, okay, the chat. Okay.
Yeah. So you would just go to your doctor and ask for red blood cell magnesium.
Magnesium. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna take a picture of that. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you very much. Denise, yes. Do you have any more? Do you have a question?
I don't really have questions. You know, I'm in the food business, and the food that we sell is bagels. I've been in the bagel business for over 15 years with my husband, and I haven't had one since even before I started this. And I've actually given up all my eggs, which I am the grill person every single weekend, making thousands of eggs for a lot of people. I do notice, though, that when I am stressed out at work, my blood sugar goes up. And I have been trying to make some healthy options in the store so this way I could eat them. But it's really very, very difficult not to pick or not to have something. And I stop myself. And if I do put it in my mouth, sometimes I just say, oh, no, and I spit it out. So it's been a ride for me. It's been an up and down ride for me. I mean, I am around food all day long, every single day. And then when I come home, I don't want to cook for myself, nor do I want to eat anything that I'm going to make. So it's been a difficult ride. I find myself doing a lot of intermittent fasting in the morning because I'm not going to have eggs. And if I remember to bring something like a chia pudding or that I buy, I don't make it because I don't have the time to make it. I'll have that or a steak. So it's been quite a ride. It's been an up and down ride for me.
So I put a link in the chat.
I know my daughter actually sent that to me. Isn't that funny?
I have made this occasionally when I just need that bagel chew feeling. And this works out pretty well.
It's funny because I take the seeds coming off the bagels and I put the seeds like on avocado and lettuce and onion and tomato and I throw a little hot sauce on there and that's what I eat sometimes if I'm really hungry. And I'll put the seeds on it just to get the taste of that everything bagel or whatever.
Right. Well, there's no flour in this, so you don't need to worry about that part. But
take a look at it.
And then the other thing too, if people are craving anything with eggs, is black salt.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Black salt.
Black salt.
Black.
Oh, black salt. Okay. Okay.
It has kind of that eggy, sulfury taste to it.
All right, pretty cool. I never heard of that one.
Yeah.
I've really done good without having the eggs, that I have to say. I mean, I just really eliminated it completely. I'm around it like all the time. Like every once in a while, I just say, ooh, just to have like one of those over-easy eggs with some avocado. and tomato. And I said, no, just have everything else. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, you said bagels. When I was in undergraduate, bagels were the health food compared to and things like that. And you know, now, I mean, of course, we've changed our way of thinking, but just the carb content.
Oh my God, I know. Believe me, I know. People say, how do you not eat them? I said, well, I haven't been eating them in a long while, but just have a small mini one, a little tiny one. My daughter's diabetic, so I know like how much it's going to raise her sugar. But, you know, it's just crazy. I'm around food all day long. I'm like, sometimes I'm absolutely crazed about it. And that's,
well,
blood sugar goes through the roof.
I have a restaurant. Oh, sorry, Lynn.
No, go ahead.
It's a sit down bagel store. We're open early. We open at 6:00. We close at 3:00. So we don't have the evening, which is nice. But you know, I'm in a resort area, and this is our time right now. It goes from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and it's straight working nonstop every single day. And then I go home and I have to cook again. So it gets like, it's monotonous for me.
Yeah, I waited on tables most of my life. And,
oh, you did?
I totally get it. I mean, I go to work, and I work from 11:30 till, I worked about a 10 to 12 hour shift. And And I mean, I was in my 50s doing this.
Wow.
And so I'd go and I'd have, yeah, my smoothies and whatever. And, you know, they'd tease me about my swamp water. But, you know, here I am in my 50s running circles around high school girls because they're green drinks with Mountain Dew.
Right, right. Yeah, one of those big, big things of iced coffee with all that creamer in it.
Yeah. So you know, just keep reminding yourself why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to remind yourself that you're choosing this. Yes. Right. I'm choosing not to have the eggs. Oh, that notice the part of you that's craving it. Notice the habit that your body might be responding to the habit of eating what yes. you're around.
Yeah.
Always reminding that part of your brain. I'm choosing. Choosing yes. health. I'm yep. choosing to avoid this. I'm choosing not to eat right now. That has saved me so much, right? Like I am in choice. Right. It's I'm not right. being deprived. I'm choosing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's a really good one because yesterday I had my chia as a dessert with Carob. And I thought, no, it's not good enough. I really want to feel better. So maybe I could take a little chocolate. And I thought, why would I need chocolate to feel better? Exactly about awareness. No, I was like, yeah. Yeah. Why do I need a little piece of chocolate to make my life better? It's weird, no? How it works.
Well, Don was mentioning, you know, reducing or cutting out the fruit. And that was probably the hardest thing for me when I first started on this journey of balancing blood sugar was cutting out fruit because, you know, we're always told fruit is healthy and it is healthy, but it just depends on the effect it has on your body. And of course, the amount that you have, because like right now it's cherry season. And I love cherries.
Oh, five cherries is all I can
yeah.
have.
Yeah. Mm. And but I must say, I allow myself when it's in season to have like, you know, I buy whatever kilo. I mean, yeah. and then I will eat the whole yeah. thing. But that's when you know that's you can allow yourself once you've done the reset and you've stabilized yourself.
Okay.
Then you can. Put some treats in, but it's not like you could do that all the time because you go back to destabilizing yeah. your blood sugar again.
But do you stay under 110 when you eat this kilo of cherries? Or
so you know what? I don't measure because I know that. I mean, because I can't just have five cherries because if I was like going to be, you know, into moderation, I mean, I should be moderate. If I had four or five cherries, probably wouldn't do anything. But when I have a kilo of cherries, it's the same with watermelon. I can, you know, so I just have to allow myself to pig out, I guess, on these things from time to time. Well, when they're in season, especially when the cherries are in season, because it's such a short period and it's local.
When they're fresh, precisely. Yeah.
But it's funny, even in the store, my go-to thing was like, if I was hungry, I would eat fruit. I would have like, you know, banana or strawberries or whatever. And now when I do that, my blood sugar goes high.
Yeah. It's scary actually when it goes that
yeah.
high. And I take a lot of vitamin C for you know, to strengthen my immune system. And I have the Freestyle Libre, you know, have you seen Dr. Marie has a little.
Yeah, my daughter wears one. Yeah.
And that particular device is very sensitive to vitamin C. So it throws off the reading. So for a short period of time, I thought I was actually diabetic because when it gives you a false positive high result. And I was really concerned because it just wasn't coming down. And I was convinced I was diabetic. And but fruit is a big thing because it's a lot sweeter. Our varieties of fruit are a lot sweeter. And that's why we focus on the berries because they're lower glycemic. But once you get everything stabilized, then from time to time, you can have some papaya or something like that.
Mm.
Or choose your favorite, you know, thing. But
there's something called medicine flowers, and they have different flavors. And so if you just want like a blueberry cake, you can get the blueberry medicine flowers and just put some drops in there. They act the chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah, so medicine flowers, really, and it's all natural.
Okay.
But, and in August, my daughter and I go, because we have friends down the road who have cherry trees.
Yeah.
We'll spend the whole day picking cherry trees, the whole next day pitting them, and then we freeze them.
Yeah. I love cherries.
But how do you keep from eating them? See, I wouldn't be able to do that.
See, actually, they're good for me because I tend towards anemia, and these actually are help with my iron levels. So, but I still don't eat. But I mean, we're talking buckets of them, like buckets and buckets and buckets. And so, there's no way I'm going to eat all of them.
Can I give you my address? You can mail some to me, please. I'll have a bucket, please. One bucket.
But there's nothing better. It's like liquid sunshine in the middle of winter. I'll put some of those in my smoothie. Right. And it's just like...
That's strawberry season here right now. And they're really delicious.
Strawberry and raspberries. Yep.
Yeah. So nice to have.
Lynn, can you put the link for the medicine flower you were mentioning? Because I'm not familiar with that, and that sounds great.
So I have one question. My triglycerides were really, really high on my last blood test. But it was following, I was on a trip to Israel, and was following my trip to Israel. I had a great time. It was hummus, and it was way before all of this started. You know, eating pita, hummus, and Israeli salad, and, you know, everything under the sun that was there. And I'm August 1st, I have my next appointment. You know, will this help bring down, all the triglyceride level? I know the exercise good for me, which I do. I work out twice a week, and then I do a lot of bike riding, you know, like short 15-minute bursts on the bike. I have a Peloton. But that's my real concern, is my triglycerides.
Were you fasting when the triglycerides were measured?
Yes, I was.
Okay, what was the level?
329.
Oh, that's high. Yes.
But it wasn't high that the test before wasn't high. This one was. And, you know, I kind of attribute it to being away for 2 weeks in a foreign country and having a grand old time looking at different kinds of foods to kind of bring back and make. But I guess this next test will really, you know, show that if it went down or if it stayed the same.
And your fasting blood glucose on this test, what was it?
110.
Okay. And have you been measuring now what your blood glucose is?
Yeah, I wake up about 98. I can't get it below that for some reason.
Okay.
So you know, diabetes does run in my family. My daughter's diabetic. My sister is. My uncle, my father's side passed, he was diabetic. So there's a lot of it that runs in the family.
So you may have to take more strict measures in the reset to really bring down your blood glucose levels. And and to answer your question, you know, where do triglycerides come from in the blood? Usually when we have high blood glucose levels, the body takes what it needs for its immediate use in the cells, and then the rest is sent into storage. And sent to glycogen stores. And then when those are stored, those are full, then the glucose is sent to fat stores. And so that's usually the excess glucose is, we can see it. So
that's like the middle gets a little bit rounder, you know, where it's actually gone down for me a little bit, so, which is nice.
So it usually is a sign that you have had too many refined carbs in your diet. So that's the triglycerides. That's usually, for me, a red flag to look at, you know, how much refined carbs are in somebody's diet. Yes, your answer is yes, it should come down, but it depends how long it takes to come down. And I would just keep track of it, because high triglycerides are an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease.
Right.
And so beyond cholesterol and all that, it's an independent risk factor. So you do need to get your triglycerides down. And it would be good if you, by the end of this program, were able to bring your your glucose levels into a more sort of an optimal range, so below 90.
Okay.
Would be
good. Yeah, I've had a couple of 86s, but mostly I'm in the 90 to 98 range in the morning on fasting. So I'm curious to see. August 1st, I have the appointment. I have to take the blood test at the end of July. So I'm hoping with this, the reset, that it's gone down a little bit at least, or a lot, more like a lot than a little.
Yeah, I hope so. And if it hasn't gone down as much as you'd like, just keep going, because it'll come down. It just may take a bit, maybe stubborn because of the insulin resistance. You know, that's where insulin resistance comes in, because our cells may not be as, responsive to the action of insulin, which is insulin helps the glucose go out of our blood and go into our cells.
My daughter, who's a diabetic, just went through a bout of insulin resistance, and they put her on so much, insulin just to get it to go down. Like, she gained 30 pounds in a matter of 3 weeks. And now she's really under control again. And, it's a long time. It's harder to take off than it is to put on.
Is your daughter on a pump?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
She's on a pump. She's type 1.
Yeah, so is mine. It's like my daughter gets insulin resistance when it's her period.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So now, she knows every time. 25. She was diagnosed at 21.
Okay, my daughter was diagnosed at 9. She's 31, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, she just got a pump, and it's not to wear. My daughter's probably really a 1.5, a lot of. She's not a full-blown 1.
Right.
Because her pancreas still, her beta cells still work, but it's a reduced level. But she got the pump to play with being able to have that background bolus, when she's like having her period or when she's sick, or like now we're going to Houston and she runs high in Houston. So that's why I asked about the pump.
Yeah, usually you can tell when they're getting sick, their blood sugars go higher before.
Yeah.
She just got a cortisone shot. She has to have surgery, but she had a cortisone shot and the blood sugars just shot through the roof.
Wow. Yeah, steroids will do that.
Yeah, crazy.
Steroids do that. Yeah. Thank you.
Did I lose everybody? No.
Nope, you're here.
Oh, okay. It got real quiet.
Yeah. I know I mute myself so I don't have background noise. These are good things to have awarenesses about. And part of what I think happens too is we have a tendency to compare. We have a tendency to compare our life with somebody else and to contrast it. And I kind of propose that we look at this contrast not as something to set us apart and show us struggles, but just to show where we're at with our own life. And like was being mentioned earlier, like Kimberly was mentioning, what we get to do to live our own best life. And as these things come up, just have that conversation with yourself about how you're feeling. Like you were saying earlier, why do I feel like I need to have this chocolate? Because Petra was talking about that. And it's like, wow, that's a really great question. Why do you feel you need to have that chocolate? Or that bagel or that whatever it is that our body is craving. And maybe putting some drops of chocolate in water will help with that, or in the smoothie. But we don't want to soothe ourselves with that, because it can suppress the real feeling. So it's doing both. Yeah. Kimberly, you look like you want to say something.
No, I love the awareness is everything, right? It's just like really being able to tune into what's not just in the surface of your awareness, but what's below the surface. And so when we're feeling overwhelmed and we're feeling like deprived, or we're feeling whatever it is that we're feeling, just accepting that and instead of resisting it, like, okay, I am feeling deprived, I'm feeling tired, I'm, you know, just accepting where you're at is so important. And knowing where you're at is awareness is the greatest agent for change. So knowing where you're at and accepting where you're at and seeing the patterns gives you the opportunity to make a different choice. And so I appreciate the way you articulated that, Lynn. Like we really are trying to empower ourselves to make better choices. And by tracking your sugars and tracking your diet and tracking your exercises, you see the patterns that aren't working for you, and you're more empowered to make better choices and to change, build better patterns, better habits. So it's a great program because, like Lisa said, it gives you tools for all of the areas that affect blood sugar. Not just diet. Right? And in fact, I think most of the other things are as important or even more important for some of us than dietary choices. So kudos to you all. It sounds like everyone is really committed and doing a lot of hard work. And I commend you for sticking it out and staying committed to yourself and your process. It's great to see.
And keep asking those really great questions. When you were talking about that, Kimberly, it reminded me when we were talking about sleep earlier and the awarenesses, you know, so there's that magic 3 o'clock time. It could be either the end of the liver gallbladder time, which has to do with anger, or it could be the beginning of lung time, which is grief. Either way, look at yourself and say, oh, you know, and just again, have that conversation with yourself, have your journal there and just start writing, you know, and not judge either of the feelings, because they both are colored by our culture and society as being negative. They're neither. They're just feelings and emotions, and they're somewhere inside your body. And anger could have been because when you were 3 years old, somebody took the doll out of your arm. It doesn't mean that it has to be something that somebody else might say, well, that's what you got angry about. It doesn't matter. Your body's receiving it that way. Same thing with the grief. It can be, it's just grief. It's grief. And your body is holding it in as grief. And so it's recognizing it, saying, oh, thank you for serving me. Thank you for being there for me. And I'm safe and you're free to go. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. So like we said, it's not always about the food. All right. Oh, here, Don wants to talk here. There you go.
I've just noticed that there's not a lot of black pepper. I don't know if we're supposed to stay away from black pepper during this reset, because I don't see it as she in any of her recipes. She puts a little cayenne in, but I like black pepper. It's okay, right?
It depends. How does your body do with it?
Well, I haven't tested it on its own. That would be hard. I mean, I think okay from what I can tell. I mean, if I put it on my salads, I don't have any spike. So, okay. I was just wondering, because it's just something I noticed and observed with her recipes. I didn't know if there was a reason why. Okay.
I think for some, and I learned this, one of my first certifications was as a macrobiotic chef. And pepper was something that people would use to offset the excess of meat and dairy. And because it has that kind of a purification process. So just notice as you add some pepper, how do you feel?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you, everyone, taking time out of their busy day, the middle of the day, to be here, to ask your questions, to be curious about yourself and your life, and to listen to others. And as you listen to the recording, if you are listening to it here for the first time or as a repeat, always feel free to reach out either via your journals on the Facebook group. If you are interested in the personalized coaching that we have through this program, both Lisa, Kimberly, Annette are, and we have one other, Isabel. She's actually in Taiwan right now, I believe. And so that's why she's not here, because it's early in the morning. And, but if you're interested in that, I'll put the link for that here in, I'm going to double check and make sure this is the right link. That's it. Okay. This goes over what's in there. It's a 3-month coaching program. You get a 90-minute initial consultation. I forgot what I said it was. All right. And Lisa or Kimberly, do you want to talk about your experience coaching that way? With your clients?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really helpful thing because people have a lot of questions, or for example, the people that I'm coaching right now, they also haven't started the reset. They're starting to reset now, and it just helps answer questions, and we can take a deeper dive into issues that they're having with, whether it's sleep or stress or food or the measurements, and or looking at their testing. So it just allows for a lot more personalization and taking a deeper dive.
Yeah. Pretty much like the questions you have here, you have more expansive time that's just you and your coach to ask these questions. So your experience, the sweet spot solution, is real directed and focused for you. So kind of a focused version of what we were doing here today. That's really nice to have some time, just your own dedicated time. And then you know that the actions you're taking within the Sweet Spot program are the ones just for you. So I just wanted to make sure that you realized we had that level of support for you. And if you have any questions about this, feel free to reach out. You can go to helpdesk@drritamarie.com and say that you were on this call and you had some questions. And we'll be there to help you with that. All right.
Thank you all. It was very good.
You're very helpful. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. And Kimberly, enjoy those Colorado peaches when they come out.
Yep, we had some last week. They're fantastic.
have you tried those donut peaches?
Oh, yum.
I've seen them, but I haven't tried them.
Yeah. Oh, they look like donuts. Yeah. They're in the shape of donuts, and they have a kind of, they're really nice. And for me, it's like one, maybe two at the most. And then that's enough. It's like my body goes, yep, that's enough. But it's right. So anyway,
well, keep going, you guys. You're doing great. And look forward to hearing from you on the Facebook group, or maybe attend our next call, which is sometime in July. And that'd be great.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, then. Bye.
Bye.